Blog Talk Radio.
What up, everybody? How it goes it on this Friday night? You know, Friday night meaning one thing. It's the Three Bros Fantasy Show. Once again, you know, we're here to bring you that heat, let you know who to have in your lineup, who not to have in your lineup as we roll into the end of the first quarter of the season. You know, it's week four already. It seems like the season is kind of finally finding a groove, it seems like, you know, being that preseason really isn't preseason anymore. But we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But let me introduce my brothers to you. I got my brother in Fayetteville, my brother Jermaine. What's up, bro? How you feeling, man?
What's going on, everyone? Another fantasy week, guys.
Yeah, I got beat up last week pretty good.
I think I won
one game in all my leagues last week. I think I won one game. Mm-hmm. Our brother Carl, he not here yet. He was hailing from Tampa. He'll probably check in a little, and probably about, you know, probably about 10, 15 minutes, hopefully. But, you know, hopefully he can jump on. But, you know, like always, man, we always start the show talking about last night's game between Cincinnati and Houston. You know, there was some fantasy numbers put up last night. And I'm going to just start with Jacksonville, man. We had our boy James Robinson on the sit list last week, and he balled out last week and then showed up again last night. So I'm going to let you talk about Jacksonville, and I'm going to talk about Cincinnati. So what did you see last night from Jacksonville as far as, fantasy-wise?
Absolutely. So it looks like Jacksonville, as of last night, it looks like they're assembling an identity. So they finally did what I guess all of us fantasy footballers would want, is to feature James Robinson, breakout player definitely of last year fantasy-wise. And they finally gave him the ball. The last 2 weeks, he's done well, 78 yards, 2 touchdowns. Last night, he ran hard. Trevor Lawrence, my humble opinion, as a rookie, I don't think he's a breakout rookie to start in fantasy. He's really not. He's not playing terrible, but he's not playing good either. Last night, he passed for 204 yards, no touchdowns, but he did run for a score. But one of the guys that I think we mentioned him last week was Laviska Shelner Jr. He's been the only consistent passing threat, I mean, receiving-wise, that they have, and he was 1 yard short of 100. So, I mean, Laviska, he's getting the ball. I'm thinking Urban, he finally has gotten a little bit of common sense, is going to get Robinson the ball. But they played hard, man. They played hard, and it looked like this loss ripped the heart out of Urban Meyer last night. What you think, Lou?
Man, I think Jacksonville is headed in the right direction. I think DJ Shark breaking his ankle last night is a bad move. It was a bad injury. But I think what that does is open up the game for Laviska and Marvin Jones Jr. I think Tavon, you know, he okay, but he ain't a guy that's really going to scare you, you know, but I think Laviska and Marvin Jones Jr. can scare you. They kind of, like, worry me because they don't have a tight end, and I think a tight end is definitely a young quarterback's best friend. I thought they would have tried to trade for Zach Ertz. You know, I thought that would have been a good move for them, but, you know, they didn't. But, yeah, man, they finally did what we said last week. You know, give Robinson the ball, you know, establish the run. And I think what happened last night was Urban Meyer finally decided to say, okay, Robinson, you are a guy, because we didn't see too much of Carlos Hyde last night, which I thought was a good thing for Robinson. But I'm going to go to Cincinnati, man. Actually, I made a mistake last night, too, in one of my other leagues. One of my leagues, some of my former military guys, I tried to go in and put James Robinson in as my RB2 and I couldn't get mm-hmm. in time to change. So, I got them points sitting on the bench. But, you know, in one of our leagues, I did start Joe Burrow and Tyler Boyd. I just think Tyler Boyd is just – he's Mr. Reliable on that team, especially with T. Higgins mm-hmm. being out. You know, I like the Tyler Boyd and Joe Burrow dynamic, and Ja'Marr Chase is coming along. Joe Mixon is a nice back, but he can't take punishment, though, because he doesn't mm-hmm. have that body to take punishment. I think they need to use more Samaje Perine, you know, mix him in so you could reserve Joe a little bit more. And I seen somebody this morning in the Tampa Bay League, I think, somebody went up and picked up C.J. Uzomah. I'm like, all right, man, I get it. He had a big game last night. But you have to go out and look at targets. Look at targets yes. and catches to determine whether or not you're going to pick somebody up. He had a good game last night, so, you know, best of luck to the person that picked him up. But I think you saw two young teams on the verge, man. You got Cincinnati going in the right direction, and you got Jacksonville building towards going in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, and you bring up a great point. It's not just chasing a one-week highlight. The targets, you have to look at targets. And how consistent the targets is going to give you a more reliable outlook than just a big game here and there. So that was a great point.
Well, yeah, man. So let's talk about this, man. I know we're only in week four, but, you know, sometimes a lot of people panicking right about now, you know, with their stars not producing or injuries or whatever. Mm. Give me somebody early in the season, man, for us fantasy-wise, that's been a big surprise for you.
Okay. In a good way, I'm assuming, right?
In a good way, yeah.
Oh, man. That's a great question. So
we'll get to
I'm
the
thinking,
disappointments here in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, because I got quite a few of them. Hey, guys. I'm quite sure everybody has a few of them that they look on their team. And they like, man, but I can tell you one, there's one quarterback, guys, that I know he has produced. I've liked him for the last couple of years. He's been consistent. He's been in pretty much the top 10 the last 2 years, and that's Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is playing lights out. Thielen, Jefferson, you know, he has, you know, disposable to those weapons, Cook. But now you got a slot guy, Osborne, that's been doing well, too. But Cousins is one of the top, I think he's top three or four in the league right now in passing yards and touchdowns. He has 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, guys. So, and a lot of times he may, in maybe a 10-team league, he might be on the bench that you could grab. But that's one of my biggest surprises as far as quarterback is concerned.
And it's crazy because we said we couldn't have put Kirk Cousins in our starts no more because we had him as a starter for 3 weeks, and he balled out all 3 weeks, and he's going to ball out again this week against Cleveland.
Yep.
I see Kirk Cousins having a big game this week. Hey, Kirk is on a roll right now. But I want to say one of my early surprises, man, I'm going to go with Ja'Marr Chase, man, because in preseason he couldn't catch a cold. But
– yeah.
Man, he has showed out here in the early part of the season as far as catching the ball, scoring, route running, you know, being able to beat press coverage, all the stuff that they said he couldn't do in preseason. He's doing it in the real season. And, you know, having that relationship with Joe Burrow, man, is like, I mean, I thought they should have drafted an offensive lineman, but Joe Burrow wanted Ja'Marr Chase. I see why he wanted Ja'Marr Chase. Ja'Marr Chase might finish in top 15 in wide receivers mm-hmm. if he stay on the pace that he's on now. I don't know whether or not he's going to break Justin Jefferson's rookie record from last year, but he's on a good pace right now as far as getting the targets, getting the yards, and scoring touchdowns. So I'm definitely surprised by his early season performances right now. But let's jump into it, man. We got to, you know, we got the good. Now we got to go to the bad. Give me somebody that's disappointing, man, so far in the fantasy season.
Bruh, that's definitely A.J. Brown, man. A.J. Brown was probably one of the top four or five receivers ranked in his position. Huge game score last year, red zone threat. I had my reservations whenever they picked up Julio. How would that target share go? But with the release of Jonnu Smith at tight end, I figured that, you know, they have a little bit more touches to go. But now he hasn't produced. He's out this week. And as we can tell you, when you're picking high, especially in the top about three or four picks in your draft, and you get to get him, you can't afford a major injury. It sets you back. And I'm telling you, he has really hurt me. I do have one more receiver, but I'm gonna give it to you because I don't want to take your shine. But I got one more ball to pick, man.
Man.
So I wish I can morph my Stephen A. voice, man. But Calvin Ridley, what are you doing? Where are you, bro? He's only averaging 8.8 a carry, man. I mean, a reception, one touchdown. Who could have thought this major regression from Matt Ryan? Nobody. The day when Cordero Patterson is integral to your passing attack, you got problems. So I guess without another guy opposite of Ridley, it could be that he's facing a lot of double coverage. He's only averaging 58.3 yards a game. That's not going to cut it for a number one receiver.
Yeah, man. I kind of blame Calvin Ridley's slow start on Matt Ryan and the offensive line, because Matt Ryan really isn't pushing the ball down the field. But is that because of the new offense? You know, I don't know. But Matt Ryan isn't looking like Matt Ryan. And Calvin Ridley is now getting number one cornerback attention now. So, you know, Julio ain't there no more. And Russell Gage, he's really not a threat. So, you know, it's you know, I think Calvin Ridley is getting the Juju effect. You know how Juju was balling when AB was there. And then when AB left and he started getting that number one respect, things changed. So, but look, man, I'm going with a guy that was drafted first two rounds. Some people took him in the first round. I'm going with Saquon, man. Saquon, he I don't know, man. I don't know whether or not it's a confidence thing, but I do know they got a terrible offensive line. So, but he just isn't explosive, man. He had one explosive run, and that was against All Boys on Thursday night. But last week, I expected him to have a big game last week going against Atlanta. And, you know, Atlanta basically been everybody's fantasy heaven playing against them. So, hey, man, I probably would have put him on the pup list to start the season out. Just to, you know, have him get more confident in his knee, more confidence in his body. But I just don't think he's there yet, man. And it's kind of – some people took him in the first round, bro. Because you know how we feel about first round. First round, that's the staple of your team. So,
yes, sir.
Man. And I'm going to go with another guy, man. I like him. I thought he got drafted to a good situation. He had a good game for his receiving last week, but he just can't run the ball, man. That's Najee Harris, man. A lot of people took Najee Harris in the second round. I know I took him in the second round on probably three of my teams. I mean, if it wasn't for his receptions, his receiving yards, man, he probably would be on the verge of maybe getting cut, man, because he's not producing as far as being a rusher. But as far as being an overall football player, he's definitely an overall football player. But I thought he would be able to run the ball with Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh offense is anemic this year. And I think Najee is the only spark plug they got. But when you look at his rushing attempts and rushing yards, it's something to be desired there. But it's a good thing he can catch the ball. So, you know, I still think he's having a disappointing start to the season for where he's drafted at. But, you know, we still got 13 games to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Barkley was, you know, any running back coming off an injury, a major injury, I'm telling you, I never gone for him. I took a flyer on McCaffrey, and, man, I got burned for that one too. So if there's a running back coming off an injury, I think it's a safer bet to get the next best option and let another owner pick him up. So that way you're not picking your team.
Yeah, because I know, like, every time he was there, if Saquon was there available for me, if Chubb was there, I was taking Chubb. If Zeke was there, I was going to take Zeke. Even though I probably would have took Chris Carson ahead of Saquon, man. But I got Saquon on my do not draft list because both years he'd have been hurt. He'd been on my team. So I kind of got a bad mojo with him. So I'm kind of like, stay away from him. And I want to see how this plans out, man. But look, man, let's jump into it, man. Hopefully Big Bro will join us. Sit, man. Give me a quarterback you're looking to sit this week.
Absolutely, man. I'm sitting Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones versus New Orleans, regardless of the offensive troubles, New Orleans have been solid on defense. Everyone and their mama knows that Daniel Jones, even though he has such immense talent, his skill set is awesome, but he's known to turn over the ball. And right now the Saints are giving up the second least fantasy points to quarterbacks. And I think the pass rush, the front four from New Orleans, I think it's going to give Daniel Jones some fit. And you couple that with what you just said about Barkley, there's nothing to keep them really honest. The defense, honest, there's nothing. Galladay is not balling. Sterling Shepard, he's
out.
Doing a little something. But
he out.
Yeah. Huh?
He out, him and Slayton out this week.
Yes, yeah, so they're done, man. I just don't see how they're going to move the ball consistently. Yeah, man, I think it's a wrap, bro. So sit them, y'all.
Yeah, I had Daniel Jones, too. I put New Orleans defense is still formidable with a solid back end. No Slayton or Sterling. Could be a long day for Daniel Jones. But I'm going with the quarterback that's going against my team. I'm going with Matt Ryan again. I was sitting Matt Ryan against Washington this week. Washington defense hasn't been what it was last year, but I think this week the D line gets right going against their O line, and we're playing indoors in the dome. I like our team speed and our defense team speed going against Matt Ryan and that offense. So I would definitely sit Matt Ryan this week. Also had Carson Wentz. But, hey, man, both of us had Daniel Jones, so I bet your big bro had him too. So Daniel Jones just can't catch a break because last week we all had him as a start. This week me and you both got him as a sit. So once again, for those listeners, remember, what we're telling you is we're telling you to sit a person based on matchup, and if you got somebody better, to play the person that's better and with a better matchup. We ain't saying if you got Daniel Jones and that's your only quarterback, you know, to go out and pick up Justin Fields. We just saying that you might want to look elsewhere for a better matchup. That's all we say. All right, bro, give me a running back you sitting this week.
I'm sitting Damian Harris versus Tampa Bay. Damian Harris, he entered this year fantasy-wise. He ran really well in the couple of preseason games, but he also had some upside coming out of training camp for New England. And
yep,
with game,
yeah,
with the game flow and how they're featuring Mac Jones, he's taking a second, you know, he's taking a back seat, but now he's going against Tampa Bay, number one versus the rush. You're not going to run. You're not going to run against Tampa Bay. Sony Michel didn't do it last week. You're not going to run. You're not going to run against them. They are very susceptible versus the pass. He's going to have to pass because Tom Brady is going to score. You're not going to have time to run the ball. So just play script alone, Damian Harris is not going to be a feasible option this week.
Man, that's crazy because I had my eye on Damian Harris in all my fantasy drafts this year because when they traded Sony Michel, that was a telltale sign for me saying that Damian Harris was the guy. And then Ramondre Stevenson, they end up benching him because I want to say he got in the game and fumbled. You know, Belichick don't play that. So all the rushing attempts was on Damian. But I just think Damian got a tough run of it right now. Last week he played against New Orleans defense, which is pretty good. This week he's playing against Tampa defense, which is pretty good. So Damian Harris is somebody to keep on your team. Don't bench him. You will play him against Buffalo, the Jets, and Miami. So keep him on your team. He's just having a bad matchup right now, but he will have better matchups come down the road. One guy I'm sitting this week who was probably picked up a lot when McCaffrey went down was Chuba Hubbard. Chuba Hubbard going against Dallas. This is a bad game for his first start. Maybe it was against the Dallas defense from last year. You would probably be like, pick him up and start him. But this year, nah, because Dallas defense is actually pretty good. They got a good front seven, stopping the rush. Defense is a lot faster. I think it's going to be tough sledding for Chuba, man. So if you can go elsewhere. I would probably look at Chase Edmonds, you know, as far as having a better matchup because they're going against the Rams. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Chase is going to give you mostly receiving yards, probably Devin Singletary and Zach Moss going against Houston. So, you know, if you got Chuba Hubbard and you was thinking about throwing him out there against Dallas, I would probably look elsewhere, man. I would probably look another direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right, bro, give me a wide receiver you said this week.
Man, so this is a tough one. But I'm sitting Courtland Sutton versus the Baltimore Ravens. The Baltimore, you know, their pass defense, it can be had. And the reason I'm sitting Courtland, even though Courtland is – he has talent out of the Yang, he's just not the Bronco receiver I'd rather go with, which I really have a fantasy love affair with Tim Patrick. But but the thing about it, the Baltimore defense, they're getting back some of their key injuries. To some players, and I really think they're going to give Bridgewater a little bit of problems. But we both know that whenever it gets down to the red zone or whatnot, Tim Patrick is a more reliable target on the last 2 years for touchdowns because Sutton has battled injuries. But I just don't feel good about Sutton going against Baltimore this week.
Man, that's funny because my receiver is in that same game and is on the other team. I'm taking Marquise Brown this week versus Denver, man. Denver defense is really good. They allow the second lowest catch rate to wide receivers and the sixth fewest yards per deep completion. And most of Marquise Brown's catches are on the deep route. So and then last week he had a bad game with three bad drops. And I picked him up last week, started him. And if he would have had those three catches, he would have had a monster game. But I just think Denver defense is really, really good. I think Lamar Jackson is going to be under duress most of the game, and Denver defense is going to keep Baltimore's offense in check. This is probably going to be one of them games that whichever team can impose their will is going to win the game. So if Baltimore can come in there and somehow be able to run the ball, Denver's in trouble. If Denver, if Baltimore defense let Teddy Bridgewater get confident and he's throwing the ball around the field and they can run it a little bit, I can see Denver running away with this game. But I'm saying Marquise Brown this week. Definitely not playing him or Sammy Watkins. I would look elsewhere this week. So if you got Marquise Brown and, like Bro said, Courtland Sutton, probably look elsewhere. All right, Bro, give me a tight end you're sitting this week.
Oh, man. So believe it or not, I'm not stuck on Dalton Schultz. He had a good game last week, but the Panthers are remarkably good on defense. I think you can take advantage of them on the outside, especially with their rookie corner going down. I don't think they're going to need Dalton Schultz. He had a great game last week, but I just don't see it covering, continuing on versus Carolina. The thing that I know for sure that is that Dallas will move the ball, but him splitting time with the jarring too, that it's hard, guys, whenever you got a position splitting time. And splitting time with a tight end, you don't know who's going to go off. And we can just look at New England and see that right now with John New and Henry. You don't know who to start. So I definitely would go with a more reliable option. Even if a Knox, I would trust Knox, Dawson Knox, a little better because he has scored two straight games. I would go with a more reliable option than my man.
Man, that is absolutely funny because I put Blake Jarwin versus Carolina because Schultz is a better option. He's more mobile, and he's more mobile than Jarwin. And it seems that when they get in the red zone, they seem to go toward Dalton Schultz more than Blake Jarwin. But I'm going to go another way, man. I'm going with a team. If you got any Seattle tight end that's not Gerald Everett, don't play him. And Gerald Everett is out this week because he's on the COVID list, I think. So whoever is filling in for Gerald Everett, don't play him going against San Francisco, because Fred Warner will most likely be covering the tight end, and he's very good. And San Francisco has corners that can cover tight ends. And if you watch Seattle's offense, the tight end is normally like a last resort guy. It's like the two wide receivers and the running back, and then maybe the tight end. So I'm not starting any Seattle tight end this week. But me and my bro, we see totally different about Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin. So, hey, that's what fantasy is, man. So let's get to the good part, bro. Let's tell the people who they should be starting in week four. Give me a quarterback you're starting this week.
Man, I'm starting Baker versus Minnesota, man. Baker with Odell, bro. I was like, yes. It was so good to see Odell back. He came back with 5 catches, 77 yards. The thing which makes Baker really good, even though he doesn't pass a lot, he has some really good weapons in the passing game he can go to. Kareem Hunt has been on the tear, and they're going to have to – I think with Minnesota, they're going to have to score. And I think he'll still be good for maybe 230 yards, 2 touchdowns, but – what you want in that number one spot is you want somebody who's going to at least produce. And I feel like he is a good, strong bet this week to get you some consistent quarterback play and some points.
And I think the thing about Baker this week is I think Minnesota's going to score points. Minnesota can score points. I think Dalvin is coming back this week. So That's one thing you do want is you want high-scoring games. And I think this might be one of the high-scoring variety, especially if Kirk Cousins stay hot. If Kirk Cousins stay hot, this will be a high-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I normally don't like doing this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going with a homer pick right here. Going with Tyler Heineke versus Atlanta.
Okay. I have him in my sleeper.
I got Tyler Heineke going against Atlanta. Atlanta defense giving up the fourth most fantasy points to quarterbacks. Plus, Heineke can run the ball a little bit. I look for him to actually play better. He can't play no worse than he played last week, even though Buffalo was on fire against us last week. But I don't think Atlanta can do what Buffalo did to us last week. I think the defense is going to play much more better, giving us more opportunities on offense. And I think Heineke is going to have a big game this week. I wouldn't be surprised if he threw for 300 yards, two touchdowns, and maybe even ran for a touchdown. So look for Heineke to have a big game this week. If you're streaming your quarterbacks or your quarterback have a bad matchup, hey, pick up Tyler Heineke and start him with confidence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hopefully, man. We got to have this one, Moo.
Yeah, because we gotta stay step with Dallas, bro. But look, man, give me a running back you starting this week.
Bro, I got two on the same team, bro. And I guarantee you know exactly what I'm talking about. They're right in Moose backyard in Denver. The Gordon and the Wiz combo, man. Huh?
You thinking about starting both of them against Baltimore? You just said Baltimore can be stout.
No. Baltimore can be stout versus the pass. But in the run, they're giving up the seventh most to running back so far this season. And
The Williams and Swift killed them last week.
Yeah, bro. They put a hurt on them. And both of those backs are playing good. Gordon, he's been consistent. Javonte Williams, he's getting more carries. I actually have Javonte on one of my fantasy squads. He did good last week. I think to control the game, I think it's going to be a ball control game for real. Both of these squads are going to run the ball, and that's where they get their bread and their butter from. Gordon or Williams. If you have a flex, I could start Williams with full confidence. But I think both of these backs are going to get some great yardage and score. So I would start either one of them this week.
That's funny because my personal opinion is I think Javonte should be starting over Gordon. I think he just has better upside. Because you really look at the numbers, their numbers are really close. But if you take away that 170-yard run away from Gordon and probably get him what he normally gets about, let's say if he got 10 yards or 15 yards off that, Javonte would be having a better season than him. But I think Javonte, if you got him on your team, stash him. I think he'll probably be starting by like week 6, week 7, maybe week 8. I think the coach will finally come around saying, hey, get a young guy some run. And plus, this is the last year of Melvin's Gordon deal, so it ain't like you really owe him anything. So, you know, this is the last year of his 2-year deal. So I would push ahead with Javonte, man, to be honest. I'm going with a guy that was on the Redskins practice squad, man. And now he's maybe the lead back for the Raiders this week. I'm going Peyton Barber, man. Last week he had 142 scrimmage yards and a touchdown. John Gruden came out and said that if Jacobs can't go, Peyton Barber will handle the lead back role. And if you look at the Chargers defense, they can't be – their secondary is great, but their run defense is terrible. So they gave up 100 yards to Clyde Edwards-Helaire last week. They gave up a combined 160-some yards to Zeke and Tony Pollard. So – I'm looking at Peyton Barber. If you picked him up this week, this is the week to play them. You picked them up for a reason, so you might as well throw them in your lineup. Ain't no need to picking them up and sending them on your bench, because that would have been a dumb waiver move. So pick them up, play them. High confidence in them going against the Chargers. Hopefully, you know, you don't need a big game from them to win, but, you know, hopefully you need a modest game from them. Maybe 100 combined scrimmage yards and a touchdown. You know, those are good numbers for somebody you picked up on waiver. So don't go on Peyton Barber. Okay, I already know which way my bro going on this one. Which wide receiver are you starting this week?
Yeah, I can tell you, I got to go with OBJ, man. So, yeah, OBJ versus Minnesota. Minnesota can't stop a cold. They can't do that. It's sad to see that with I forget the head coach's name, Mo, but he's known for defense. Yeah, man. His defense, yeah, he's playing terrible. The defense is playing awful. OBJ is back. And it's a different dynamic whenever he's playing compared to when Landry was there and he was hurt. Landry couldn't stretch the boundaries. OBJ can.
Nope.
And so so that's the thing, man, that's going to get – I think he's going to get behind that defense once or twice more because you got to play up to get that run – to stop that run game. Now you got OBJ one-on-one with – and I don't even know who the starting corner for Minnesota is. So it's going to be trouble all day long. So OBJ for sure, bro.
OBJ will be matched up against his LSU counterpart, Patrick Peterson. I think they will have Patrick Peterson lined up over OBJ, but I'm still starting OBJ in that matchup. I think he's too talented. And when he's the number one guy, you see what he does to defenses. He scares the hell out of defensive coordinators when he is the number one guy. And like you said, the passing game looked more exciting and explosive with him being the main guy to Jarvis. Last week when I said put him in the start, Big Bro laughed at me. He laughed at me. I was like, bro, I'll start an OBJ this week. And that was the reason why I said he's the number one guy. So, you know, I think Stefanski has to figure that out with OBJ and Jarvis Landry. You just got to figure it out. They too good of a talent that you can't find ways to get both of them the ball. So, I mean, you was able to get Thielen and Diggs the ball. Why can't you find ways to get OBJ and Landry the ball? So, but I'm digging deep this week. I'm digging deep. I had Tim Patrick, but I'm not going with Tim Patrick. I had Robert Woods. I'm not going Robert Woods. I'm going with this guy, man. I'm going with Chester Rogers versus the Jets. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are both out this week. Rogers is going to be the wide receiver one going against the Jets. Tennessee is going to be able to run the ball, so you got to expect the play-action game to be in. And I look for my man Chester Rogers to be the beneficiary of that. And he has run out the catch ability. And people just don't realize that he is a veteran receiver. He did play with Indianapolis last year.
Yeah.
And on top of all that, he's a good route runner. So I think Tannehill is going to better trust him this week to go out there and run as the wide receiver one. I know probably nobody's probably going to go out and pick him up, but if you play in daily fantasy, I will probably pick him up in daily fantasy. Probably is going to be on the cheat. So I will look at Chester Rogers, man, as definitely being a start.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bro.
Okay. Big
tight
bro, brother.
Tight end.
Here we go. So I spoke about Knox earlier, but I'm going to give another one, and that's Tyler Conklin for the Vikings, bro, versus Cleveland. He's filling in for Irv Smith Jr., but as we both and everyone knows now that, man, Cousins is the hottest quarterback going right now. Conklin, there's not a lot of options out there in the waiver wire, but Conklin is a good red zone threat. Last week, he had 7 catches for 70 yards, and that was against Seattle, which is no – they're not a stalwart no more. But I think that with the amount of points scored, it may be a chance for him to do some damage in the middle. And I think Cleveland, I think they're going to have their hands full with those three receivers. So I'm thinking he might be a sneaky play to get a red zone look or two.
Yeah, man. Kirk is passing the ball. I thought Herndon would have been the tight end of choice when Irv Smith Jr. went down, but Conklin seems to have beat him out, maybe because Conklin knows the offense and, you know, Herndon hasn't got the grasp of the offense yet. But I'm going with this guy, man, and I want to say it's going to be his second game back, and it's a tough opponent. But the reason I'm going with Evan Engram is because of Slayton and Shepard being out. Slayton and Shepard being out, that means you got Golladay and Engram as your as your weapons as far as your receiving options. I think Evan Engram should probably be able to see maybe between 8 to 10 targets in this game, if not more, especially with Shepard being out. Shepard was the guy that Daniel Jones went to as far as his security blanket. I think this week that'll be Evan Engram. If Engram can't get off this week with no Slayton and no Shepard, I will probably monitor him and his production. Because this should be a week he should go off. I think New Orleans going to score points, and I think the Giants going to try to keep pace. And the only way you keep pace is by throwing the ball. So I'm giving Evan Engram a look this week. As far as a tight end, I'll look to start this week. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Give me a sleeper, bro. Who you got? I know you said a Heineke, so, but I already threw Heineke in as a start.
Yeah, you did. Man, so you hit one of them. The other one, I have two of them here. One was Zach Moss going up against the Jets.
Houston.
Yeah, I mean Houston, I'm sorry. Zach Moss, he's a preferred, goal line threat. But I'm going to do another one, man. If Dalvin Cook misses this game, I'm definitely going with Madison versus Cleveland. Every time he's filled in for Cook, this man has played well. He reminds you of how, like, Mike Davis was with McCaffrey. He always steps in and he balls out, man. So if I got him on one of my other squads, and you best believe I'm monitoring that game. If he is starting this game, everyone, he is a must-start, period. So those are my just a few of mine. You stole my quarterback because I did have Heineke, so those are the three I had, bro.
Man, I got a deep sleeper, and this is going to make you smile. If Antonio Gibson can't go Sunday, I know everybody want to look at McKissick, but that boy from Buffalo, Patterson, I would look at him. Ooh. I think Patterson could really get off against this Atlanta defense if he's given the touches, because he would be the number two back. But the Washington football team likes to use McKissick as a third down back. So when they actually go with the young boy as the lead back, I think they would, because that's the reason why they put Barber on the practice squad. So keep a lookout on Antonio Gibson's injury status, because as of right now, he's questionable. And if he can't go, and if you can somehow in the last minute pick up Patterson, I would actually look at pick up Patterson and probably even starting him against Atlanta, because I know the Washington team wants to keep McKissick in his role. They don't want to do anything outside of his role. He'll get his three to five carries a game, and then, you know, he'll get his 3 to 5 catches a game. And I think they would rather have Patterson be the lead back. So keep an eye on that. But the sleeper I'm going with this week, I wish Big Bro was on. I'm going with Kadarius Toney, man. Wide receiver, Giants, going against New Orleans. With Shepard and Slayton out, they got to find some other options in the pass game. Toney is fast. He's shifty. He has the run after the catch. And I'm quite sure they want to see him in game action to see what they have in him. So Kadarius Toney might be, I would say, if you really, really hurting that wide receiver, I'll probably pick him up and start him. I'm going to pick him up and start him in a daily fantasy because I want to see what he does because I'm intrigued, and I know he's going to be on the cheat. So that means I can go high probably at running back, quarterback, maybe even tight end. So Kadarius Toney is worth depending on what your wide receiver situation looking like, I would probably pick Toney up and probably play him. But I'm definitely playing him on my daily DraftKings this week. I think he's going to have a good game. Because I think New Orleans is going to score some points on the Giants, forcing the Giants to have to throw the ball. So Kadarius Toney is my sleeper this week. Me and my bro, we broke it down for you. Big bro couldn't make it this week. But we'll be back next week, week five. Any last words for the people, Jermaine?
Man, I would definitely say, I think we said this last week, but know your injury updates, guys. Follow them things. And just make sure you do an overview. See who's playing, who's not, because that could be a difference of you winning or losing, just knowing who another component of that team that it could be huge, like Julio and how that's going to affect Tannehill. So make sure you do your injury updates. Stay on top of it.
Yeah, man. And I know in the Tampa Bay League, we got defensive players, so we do play IDP. IDP is very, very hard. Man, because I'm a Chase Young fan, but he gives me no points on defense. So, man, I've been weighing the options of cutting him, man, and picking up somebody else. But, man, he's just so good. And I just, man, I love IDP because it makes you think. And you have to think the whole game. So I'm going to stick with Chase one more week, man. But, damn, boy, it's hard. When I'm looking at all these defensive tackles with six tackles a game, three half tackles or assisted tackles, I'm like, my man Chase only get, what, two tackles a game?
Man,
it's just rough. Like we always say every week, you can't win your league if you don't win your weeks. So, you know, we come out here try to help y'all win y'all weeks. I'll be putting out the highlights from the show out on Twitter probably late Saturday or early Sunday when everybody's doing their lineups. Next Friday, 7 o'clock, me and my two bros, we're going to bring y'all the same flavor. We'll review the Thursday night game. Probably have a real football topic next week. I don't know what that's going to be as of yet. And that's it, man. Everybody have a good weekend. Be safe. Bro, take care of yourself, man. Don't be trying to rush that recovery. And as you probably know that we got a contract for a house back in the Ville. So I will be joining my bro Jermaine in North Carolina next summer.
Yes, sir.
So, going down. So everybody have a great weekend. Be safe. Take care of yourself. And as always, we end the show with a peace.
Peace.
That's how we do it.